So today's topic is about there is one. It's what is all this oneness about? Like Beverly said, I grew up in a environment, a culture of spirituality. So you'll be hearing a little bit more, like how Nairobi is sort of referred to God Almighty and that sort of thing. But it is a transcendence of where I have been in a very orthodox type of culture to opening and understanding the relationship of me in my environment, but also of me with who I truly am. What is my true nature? Who are we? And what is this oneness about? So in preparing, I actually went a little renegade. I went with Neville. Because Neville stood on my bookshelf and he said, "I am it." And truly, I did everything else. I looked at all the other the books that I needed to look at, but I couldn't find what was calling to me, and Neville did it. And so his book, I am pretty much in love with. I'm in love with a lot of his writings, but today's book is on your faith is your future. Your fortune, sorry. Your faith is your fortune. And Neville, like Beverly, is a Caribbean and he was born in Barbados, 1905 to 1972. Came to America to study theater and end up the amazing mystic, like our very own Connie, who is our local mystic here. He has a lot to teach, and I just was consumed in his own energy, the energy that he was reaching out to me. So part of what we're talking about, he talks a lot about scripture, but he literally interprets it into very science of mind, very oneness, very new thought. And so I think he had a very good gift to translate biblical facts and not get caught up in the hierarchy of kings and princes and the orthodox and all that stuff of it. So his first chapter started as "Before Abraham was." Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that's from John 8, 58. So what he was actually saying is, pretty much I am is has always existed and will always exist. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is another biblical verse. And the Word was God. But going back to in the beginning, everything was I am, and in the end, it will still be I am. So I was very, really blown away with this his opening statement, and may I read it to you. In the beginning was the unconditioned awareness of being, and the unconditioned awareness of being became conditioned by imagining itself to be something. And the unconditioned awareness of being became that which it had imagined itself to be. So did creation begin. So he came from the point of view of unconditional awareness has always, and I'm saying unconditional, but I really prefer the word unconditioned. Awareness, meaning it's awareness that is out there. It's almost, it's unconditional. It's just existing. It's an awareness that is full of possibility, potential. And then there is our imagination. Then there are the ideas, there are our thoughts that causes this unconditional awareness to become conditioned. And when it becomes conditioned, that's how we see things happen in our world. Mm-hmm. So it's like a full basket of possibility, potential, just waiting for our thoughts to impact it, to form impressions into it. And then it opens up into our creation. All right. So through imagining itself to be something, we actually begin the creative process. And so the creative process is about conceiving. What we have first is just a conceiving idea. And then from the whole aspect of conceiving, we have the conception of what we want. So right there, you can literally see it's one. It's something coming out from the one. So I'm going to continue to explain that. So conceiving from the nothingness. So in the beginning, the Alpha and Omega is nothing from the beginning. There will always be nothing. It's a big open void. It's a void of possibility. It's a basket full of nothingness. This is where we are existing, in a world of nothingness. But it's so full of potentiality and possibilities. But it needs something to impact it in order for creation to start happening in our lives. So Neville started talking about the decree that he read about in Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11, brothers and sisters. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accompany that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So what he's actually saying is that we are the ones that are literally speaking our fortune, speaking our manifestation, speaking our words into reality, speaking our words into truth. And man is forever creating into his world. He or she automatically expresses what he thinks of without even using words. So truly, even if we don't use words, it's the consciousness of where we are. It's the consciousness of what do we want to bring forth into our existence. What do we want? What do we want to exist? What is our path? What are some of the things that we want to pull into our awareness? And it's with this awareness, which is the void, which is the nothingness, which is the all-powerful awareness or consciousness, which is the unconditioned nothingness that's just waiting for our imagination. So with that said, Neville said, "The Lord God is the creator of heaven and earth. And it is discovered that the man's awareness of being is also within." So he sort of talked about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is within. And if the kingdom of heaven is within, then it must mean that I am what that kingdom is. Then he spoke about the kingdom of God. So he said, "The impersonal principle of life, which made all things, is personified as God." And then he started naming a few of the Bible names that brought his awareness to what God is. So he said, to name a few of these is I am has sent me unto you. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord, and there is no God. I am the shepherd, etc., etc. And so with that said, we went into what he literally is sending us into, knowing the truth of where we are. He said, if you know the truth shall set you free. The truth that sets man free is the knowledge that his consciousness is the resurrection and the life. That his consciousness both resurrects and makes alive all that he is conscious of. And my notes that I've had here, but when you make a decree, when you decree a thing, it shall come to pass. In other words, you shall become conscious of what you are decreeing, what you are being aware of. You shall express and you shall possess that which you are conscious of. And we're going to explain how you can do that as I go along. The I am has to be the only way. It's the way to impact our own consciousness. I am has resurrective powers. I am is the consciousness of being is not dependent upon being anything. It precedes all conceptions of itself and shall be when all conceptions of itself shall cease. So like I was saying, before there has been nothing, after there is nothing. But in the meantime, what I impact into the consciousness is where my creativity starts. So the law of consciousness is the only law of expression. So these are kind of getting us into the aspect of understanding that it takes. So in other words, so. If I can explain it the way I am interpreting it in my mind. Consciousness is ever existing. Consciousness is where, consciousness is the life. Consciousness is here. And so how we need to create is by our imaginations. Is by our thinking, is by our thought processes. Our thought processes consciously impacts our unconditioned awareness. How Neville mentioned is, he says, in order to become conscious, we have to rise to another level. So we cannot be conscious where we are with the limitations that we are experiencing right now. So to rise in consciousness to the level of the thing desired and to remain there until such level becomes your nature is the way it seems that creation works. And this is what Neville referred to as sometimes people call miracles, all right? He said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. So if I lift my consciousness up to the naturalness of the thing that I am desiring, I shall draw the manifestation of what I desire into my own life. So he say, no man comes unto me except through the Father, but my consciousness is the Father who draws the manifestations of life to me. So we are not talking about an external deity. We are not talking about anything outside of us. We can only experience creativity from the inside out. There is nothing out there that would make a difference in our life, because each person is absolutely has to be focused on their own creativity All right. So the nature of the manifestation is determined by the state of consciousness in which I dwell. I am always drawing into my world that which I am conscious of. So when we think about what we want in our own lives, we are beginning to think about it from a state of the I am-ness in us. So as we go along, he's going to, you know, remind us that whatever we are wanting is what is already drawing us, drawing forth from us. What we are wanting is already calling us, and we are calling it. So that, again, is like the oneness of all things, all right? So he said, if you are dissatisfied with your present expression of life, then you must be born again. Well, what is that? Rebirth is the dropping of the level with which you are dissatisfied and rising to the level of consciousness which you desire to express and possess. So he's literally asking us to move from one level to another by embodying what you want to manifest in this world. And the way we move into one level is to literally know that, and I'm going to give you an exercise how we can move into that level. But moving from one level to the other, he talked about, you know, we can't put new wines into old wine bottles. we can't put new patches onto old garments. So because that's not going to work out. But what he is literally asking us to do is to start to release the consciousness that we have presently. The consciousness, obviously, that's not working for us. The consciousness of limitation. He's saying that we can't serve two masters. If we serve, let me read this. You cannot serve two masters or opposing states of consciousness at the same time. So we can't hold on to our limitations and expect to move forward with another big bang of an idea or manifestation, all right? So taking your attention from one state and placing it upon the other, you literally die to one from which you have taken it and you live and express to the other. So man cannot see how it would be possible to express that which he desires by such a simple thing, but it is possible. It is very possible to release, shed the old consciousness, and adopt a new and a more rich consciousness. So one of the first things he is asking us to do is to put on a new... We talked about the old guy. So the state for which we would need to rise to the level of any state is to automatically become the state in expression. But in order to rise to the level that you are not now expressing, you must completely drop the consciousness with which you are now identified. Until your present consciousness is dropped, you will not be able to rise to another level. But he said, don't be dismayed. You know, we look at it and like, how am I going to drop this consciousness? What am I going to do? How could that happen? And it happens easily with meditation. And he explained how we can go about doing that. So we're going to just, I have a few things highlighted here. His book is so amazing. I don't even know how I can. He just put me into another state of beingness by understanding, just going in and just releasing and becoming the I am is literally being absent from the body and being present with another consciousness. How amazing is that? So he talked about The body from which you are invited to escape is your present conception of yourself with all its limitations. But you are going to be embodying a new awareness. To accomplish this seems impossible, but he asks that you silently say to yourself, I am. Do not condition this awareness at all. Don't go into it with any alternative or ulterior motive. Just sit quietly and keep declaring, I am. I am. Simply feel that you are faceless and formless and continue to do so until you feel yourself floating. And so people who meditate more than others have an idea of the floating aspect. So as you relax, as you let go and the external stimuli, you begin to get deeper and deeper in your own cells, in your own void, in your own body consciousness. And if you just start thinking, I am, and we're going to do that as an exercise after the part two. I am, start letting go, start releasing the thoughts, and start seeing yourself as faceless. Start seeing yourself as having no form, no body, and just see where that takes you. Neville describes it as floating. It's at this floating stage that you become receptive. And once you become receptive, that's when he starts saying, embody the thing you desire. So you would have had a desire prior to you going into meditation. When you reach the stage of where you are open, it's literally a willing stage, it's a receptive stage. You bring that in and you put yourself as the thing you require to be manifested in your life. So for example, if it is peace, let's say peace, you know, you go into meditation and you truly start identifying with your own true nature. I am nature. There is nothing outside of you. Everything that you need is within you. So I am, I am, I am. And as you clear your surroundings, you clear your thoughts, or just allow your thoughts to just fall away, allow any external stuff to fall away, then you stay in a place of, like, openness. And from the minute you start feeling light or feathery, then you start saying, I am peace. Or bring in whatever else that you are desiring at that time. So that went into a little more explanation. But he says, with this expansion of when this expansion of consciousness is attained, within this formless deep of yourself, give form to the new conception by claiming and feeling yourself to be that which you, before entering into this state, desired to be. He said you will find that within this formless deep of yourself, all things appear to be divinely possible. Anything that you sincerely feel yourself to be while in this expanded state becomes in time your natural expression. How cool is that? The last part. He said, anything that you sincerely feel yourself to be while in this expanded state becomes, in time, your natural expression. And guess what? Everything we are truly experiencing, good or bad, is our natural expression. It's because of our consciousness that has brought, we embodied it. And so, you know, it's something I don't like to go too much to talk about, because, you know, it's not about blaming or causing, you know, saying that you chose badly or anything like that. But truly our life is about what we embody, what we bring into our own consciousness. And usually it happens unconsciously, all right? So he is saying that what you feel within yourself when you're in that state, over and over over a period of time, it becomes you. And when you are in that natural expression, that's where creativity happens, all right? So at that time, he's asking us to firm up our conviction, because we are open, we are receptive, and now we've put our demands, in a way, put our asking, put our desire, we've put it into our consciousness. But then he's saying, just don't walk away from it. Firm it up. And he said, let there be a firmness of conviction in the midst of this expanded consciousness by knowing and feeling, I am that, the thing that was or is desired. All right? So this is some cool stuff. Something that I didn't go into in any depth in the past for myself. I always knew it was one, and that the oneness would, you know, within the oneness, you know, it's the law of attraction, it's give and take, it's, you know, the law of givenness. But I have seen it in a little bit of a different light this time, where truly it's my awareness of being the thing which I desire to manifest in my life that will definitely come forward. And so as we go along for our second part, we're going to talk more about what we do in the meditation and how we are going to really bring that forth, how we're going to bring forth our creation. So have something firm in mind, or not. Connie has love. She can put love in anything. I have I am, but I have something attached to that I am. Right? So he truly wants us to claim and feel ourselves to be the thing desired. And by being convicted and holding on to that consciousness, he says we are crystallizing our desire. So we're crystallizing. He says like liquid. He's like we are forming like a liquid light, a crystallization of what we want within our own consciousness. And that felt very good to me. And the last thing before we close off, he said, now that the law of your being has been revealed to you, begin this day to change your world by reevaluating yourself. He said, too long we have held on to the belief that, of course, we're born of sorrow, we must work hard, you know, salvation is something to sweat for. But we know that God is no respecter of persons. And why I say that is because this conscious awareness, this bowl of consciousness, this vault of consciousness that we are working in, doesn't care what impressions we put into it, doesn't have a morality issue. It is just one that will give. It has to give. If we ask, and we ask consciously, and we ask with a sense of, I am it. It is like a working together. It's like the law of what it is. So if I say I am peace, peace is carved out to me. Peace is in my consciousness. And if I'm going to be that in the world, then that's what I, that's my natural state. So when we come back, we're going to hear Nyambis again, and then we're going to, you know, maybe do a little chit-chat, and then we go into meditation. Today is a day where we do our treasure mapping, so have your goals, have your creations very close by, because we're going to put that into your meditation. All right? Thank you very much.
Thank you.